Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And my co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He is a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, sir. How you been since I saw you last?
Oh, busy. We like busy.
Yeah?
And I've been that. I wondered, do you have any plugs you want to give out for Business Radio X today?
I don't know. We've got a lot going on. We've added new shows. Yeah, I guess I do. We now have this new series that we're unleashing calling Atlanta's Best Connectors.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for nominations. You can nominate yourself if you like. But if you would like to nominate someone that you know to be a particularly good connector, someone who is particularly good at helping other people who need to meet each other get together, if you would drop an email to support@businessradiox.com, then we'll look at getting them on the show and talking to them. So, yeah, that'll be our plug for this week.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we brought that out because I got an email on that. You told me that you got over 75 nominees for that?
Yeah, and I tell you what was interesting and very telling was we had a handful, maybe six or eight, people who had been nominated by more than one person, which suggests to me they really are one of Atlanta's
best
connectors.
What they're doing.
So, as you might imagine, they've made it to the top of the list,
sure.
People that have been nominated by more than one source. We're really looking forward to those interviews. And what we've decided to do, we're not going to do a dedicated show or even mm-hmm. series so much as just throughout the course of Atlanta Business Radio, High Velocity Radio, Executive Talk Radio, some of these shows we call our house shows,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to pepper these interviews in, and I think we can look forward to some really insightful and engaging conversations.
The word is salt, not pepper. You're going to salt those shows.
Okay. Well,
sorry, but that's the wordsmith in me. I'm sitting here thinking about that.
That's why I need a professional.
There you go. Maybe I ought to get back to task here. You know, for me, there's excitement each Tuesday as I enter the studio for the weekly edition of Right Here, Right Now. And I know that the guests come with their unique perspectives on life and work, and today is no exception. Each of the guests I have the honor to claim as friend and colleague, whether they like it or not, but I do, seriously. Both manifest a whole lot of energy, but in different ways. Sherry Gilbreth is founder of and a partner in the Heart Center Therapy, and Sherry, along with other professionals at the center, help their clients gain healing from the emotional, physical, and mental stressors of the modern-day lifestyle. And her work focuses on balancing or restoring energy within her clients. Motivational and keynote speaker Rich Hart takes command of a room simply by his presence. And boy, he conquered the studio this morning by coming in here. He infuses individuals with energy as he speaks and as he challenges them. Each of these individuals is in the process of writing a first book, and they're going to share that journey with us today. And I have a policy of ladies first. So you're on, Sherry. Good morning.
Good morning.
So in addition to being a founder and a partner at the Heart Center Therapy, you're also a massage therapist and a Reiki master.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, you describe your book in this fashion. Grace, A Healer's Awakening to Self, paints a portrait of the 29-year process of self-growth, healing, and healing service work. Talk about that. What motivated you to write it? What's the healing that's going on?
Well, I have been practicing my Reiki and massage for 7 years, and through those 7 years, every client that I've had, I tend to share that I am a human myself. So I tend to share bits and pieces that, you know, I may be giving this healing energy, but it comes from experiences that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And my clients started asking me more and more and more about how I learned what I did, how I came about being who I am and being in this line of work. And people started asking me to write my story,
mm-hmm.
that it was an amazing story and to write my story. So it took a lot of guts to do it.
Yes, it does. Yes,
but
it does.
But I decided that I needed to put my experiences down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make my first book simple and something that could be broken down easily to inspire anyone who's going through transitions in their life and give them tools that they could utilize through my own experiences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the format? How did you make it simple? Because I'm sure people, simple? I need to know what simple is.
It's going to be a short book. It's only about 64 pages. And they're short stories. So I take excerpts from my life, mm-hmm. memories that I have, experiences, and break it down into a short story. And then at the end of every story, I put a meditative piece. So there are a couple of questions that you can ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either read it as a novel, as my story and complete, or you can use it as a meditation journal where you could just flip to whichever page and ask yourself that question and work with what's going on in your world.
Okay. Now, if people listen to my intro very carefully, they know how old you are. I can see people dialing back on the MP3 right now to catch that. You're awfully young to be able to talk about changes. Did you have a traumatic experience deal? What battles were you up against?
I like to say in my spiritual contract, I decided to get my lessons out of the way early.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I do not claim to be an elder. I do have mentors that work with me. That's why my book, I put it out there that it is 29 years of experience. Mm-hmm. But in those 29 years, I had wonderful parents that guided me through my gifts. And I had, I did have some traumatic experiences that put me into a place where I had to really look at myself and look at what my purpose is in being here.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with an eating disorder and depression from starting age 17 to age 21, and through that found my spiritual path and found my path of service through really healing that, through trying traditional therapies that weren't working and having to get to the heart of what I was and who mm-hmm. I am in order to move forward.
And so you actually shifted in your career intent along the way, didn't you?
I did. I initially went to college, which I ended up dropping out of because I was so sick. But I was going to go to be a biologist and scientist. So I to think that I am a scientist mm-hmm. in the fact of the energy medicine. I do have a very technical side to my way of working with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And my next book, I want to catalog a lot of that and make it into more of scientific of how energy healing really is a science.
What was the toughest part for you in the actual writing?
The toughest part for me was not going into a victim mode about it, really making it factual and making it inspirational. So I believe that everyone's story, you can look at it from a negative or a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to a place where every piece of my healing journey, I've turned into something positive. And that's what I want to inspire in people. But getting it out there, I shed a lot of tears writing it.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to look at myself even deeper writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And to really get it to where it was shifted into something that was 100% in that positive light, to where I didn't even get to allow myself in any form to be that victim.
Okay. My mind is whirling ahead a couple of weeks from now for a show that I've already got lined up. And the reason I mention that is the sense that you just gave me is that you really have put it all on paper.
Yes.
I have not seen it, as you know. My concern, so I'm going to come back at you, is I've had three clients this past year, women who wanted to tell their stories of abuse or the pain of their mm-hmm. of their lives so that others would not have to go through it and could learn from it. And each of them avowed to me, I've put it all on paper. It's all there, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, and we had this conversation with, I had it with each one of them, is as they're writing, they see it in their mind, but somehow it didn't get from their mind down onto the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my having said that, what's your gut say? Is yours on paper?
For the first book, yes.
Okay. All right.
It's not the deepest level of writing
sure,
that I'm wanting
sure.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something, like I said, I want it to be an inspirational. I want it to be something that people that haven't ever had that mindset that you can take things mm-hmm. and shift them into a positive can do that.
Good. I'm
so I
I'm
recognize
glad.
It's a middle layer of depth. It's okay. not as deep as I can go and mm-hmm. will go.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
got to
save something. You, gotta
you
have
got
the
to. Exactly.
People want to say, "Where's book number two?"
And again, 29. So,
Well, the idea is if when you're 29, you've learned, you don't need to do this anymore.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. But I like that. I guess I should say to the listeners, you and I have known each other for about 4 years now, I think at least, because we were in a networking group together.
Yeah.
And I've actually experienced your massage work and the work of some of the other people at your center. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing center. Tell us a little bit about the Heart Center Therapy.
Well, I founded the Heart Center Therapy Company, I believe it was 5 years ago. I've been doing the healing work for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the group of us that came together over a year and a half ago and formed our center decided that we wanted to form a co-op. So we offer all types of one-on-one healing services, massage, energy healing, qigong therapy, as well as classes for movement, so yoga, tai chi, qigong classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also certified to teach others to be healers. So we're a certified yoga school. We have a yoga teacher training that's actually starting in February, another one in June. I certify in Reiki energy healing. We have someone who certifies in reflexology and someone who certifies in traditional qigong medicine. So we really are there, number one, to serve as a place for anyone who's having chronic pain. We work with people that have cancer, fibromyalgia. We like to say we take the tough cases.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Or emotional distress. You know, of course, if someone is clinically bipolar, that type of thing, we want them working with a therapist too.
Oh, sure.
But they come to our classes as long as they're working with a therapist as well. You don't have to be in a crisis to come. We have a lot of people that just come for the healing support. And then the second piece, of course, is anyone who's looking to transition into the healing work. There are a lot of healers in the closet out there. They don't even know they're a healer until they step into doing their own healing work with someone. And they go, oh, you know, I thought that was weird, or I thought it was odd that I knew that, or I thought that's interesting. So we want to offer people healing and also a way for them to step into being healers themselves so that we can spread that all over the world.
Do you mention any of that kind of concept in the book that you've just written?
No, the book I've written is strictly my story. I mention a little bit at the end, kind of as an intro to, I'm wanting to write something in the future more around that.
Okay.
When we've had more time together as a co-op center.
Mm-hmm. What do you see volume two being?
I see it being going into depth about what energy really is.
Okay.
And that's where the really deep part that I'm going to go get them.
Well, give us a sampler right now, if you would.
When you're talking
about energy, and also, you know that I'm a Reiki master as well, and I'm actually practicing that with some people these days because they've discovered that I can do it.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, I think. Talk a little bit about that so that, you know, this will give a plug to you, but to other people who are dealing with the need for energy.
Absolutely. Well, energy, if you think of the cell, I'll take it from a scientific perspective. You have a proton, you have a neutron, you have an electron, but the majority of the cell is space. The majority of the body is space. The majority of this universe is space. And so what energy is really that empty space. What Reiki is working with is that empty space. Hmm. What happens is when we have traumas, and I'm small, large, you know, you could almost get in a car accident, you get these vibrations that get stuck in that space. And if you look in the wild, if there's a deer that gets almost shot, it runs it off. So it opens that space back up. There are certain animals that'll close off until they've calmed down. But as humans, we just suck it up and move on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a way of letting it go. So what the Reiki does is it goes into that actual space of the cell and it unwinds whatever is stuck there so that you can relax and have that vibrant health.
I like that. That's got to be the best description I have ever heard. Honest to God. That was great. That's great. That's great.
Actually, that came from a couple of my Reiki students who are very scientific, who pulled it out of me in classes because they are very technical minded. And they, I love teaching because it makes you go deeper with your expression.
Sure it does.
And
as you said earlier, you started off with your education in that kind of field, scientific world. So you really do bring a level of credibility to what you're about more than the average person would.
Right.
What do you hope the book's going to do for you?
Launch something new.
Okay.
It's for me personally, it's my first step towards really stepping into my own expression and my real creativity, and just to see where it goes and see where it leads me. Really, mm-hmm. I don't have any expectation around it. If it can support one person, I'll be happy with it. And if it can teach me how to be the writer that I do want to be, and in that way be even more of the human that I want to be, then that's the best goal I can have for my first book.
I like that.
So what's the timeline? When is this thing coming out?
June. That's the timeline the universe and my angels have given me.
Got it.
Apparently it has to be out by June.
I think we can make that. You can make
that
happen.
We can make that.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got February, March, April, May.
Yeah.
We can do that. How long did it take us to get this turned around, Stone?
Not so very long. It really didn't take that long to write it either. You know, but I'll tell you what it did do for me, and it sounds like this is going to happen for you. Had no one ever bought a copy, it would have been worth the investment of time and energy, because it helped me clarify my thinking and my work.
Absolutely.
And so if you get nothing else out of it, that's a benefit. And then what a tremendously rewarding feeling I found when someone does get some value out of it.
Absolutely.
So you can look forward to both of those things, I think.
Absolutely.
And you've just had what we would call proof copies out to some friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Touched them, right?
It did, yeah. Yeah, it did. My mom said she cried and laughed and was happy. And
that's my mom bought boxes. your mom is good for 500 copies, I'm telling you.
Well, I already have about 30 of my clients that say they want a copy. I mean, I may have to give them away, but that's
No.
Tim,
no. I'll tell you which show to listen to where you get the pointers on. Don't do that. Don't do that. But we'll talk about that later. Hey, it's been fun. Are you willing to sit tight while I interview Rich?
Absolutely. Love to.
Great. Well, Rich, I'm turning in my chair a little bit. Oh, you know, before I do that, I did a big blooper here. People want to be in touch with you, Sherry.
You can go to our center website, www.heartcentertherapy.com, or you can call me at 404-357-0424.
Great. Now, I just got ahead of myself. I'm so excited to be interviewing Mr. Energy over here. Rich Hart is an entrepreneur for more than 20 years in the business community. He's engaged in business management and corporate development for more than 25 years. He owns 3 corporations, and he's the current president of NSA, which is the National Speakers Association in Georgia. Welcome, Rich.
Tim, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And he's talking fast already.
Well, now you know why he's the president of the Speakers Association. Do you hear that voice? Is that a voice or what for a
absolutely.
Speaker or radio guy?
Well, not only that, but he comes in all muscular and intimidates people too. So you're an entrepreneur, a speaker, and a writer. How do all those work together?
You know, Tim, what I try to do is I try to incorporate everything I do in my speaking and training career inside life and balance and creating the intention that we all want to live and grow with.
Where do you get the audacity to claim the ability to do that? And that's not a challenge. It's just a question I get. Where do I get the audacity to be a writer?
Well, that's 6'4" and full of muscle. You know, so you have that opportunity.
right?
There is a certain mystique, I guess, right, that you have, and that you're able to walk around with it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, it's just the ability to move and change and develop and learn. And I think that's probably one of the bigger keys, to learn as much as you possibly can along the way.
Okay, now, as I introduced you, and you have it on your website, that you've been in the business community, business management, corporate development, and all of that. Where or how... You had to have a real job, so to speak, at one point,
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
How did you get from that into, let's see how this is going to work out here? That
sure.
had to be a step of faith and audacity and fright.
Well, we all deliver newspapers at one day, you know?
Okay.
I over the years, I never looked at age, never looked at what I couldn't do. And having the ability to say, okay, look, you know, give it a shot, give it a try,
mm-hmm.
and expound and reach out as far as you can and to make it grow, make it happen for yourself. I mean, hey, it's up to you. So you're going to run some problems along the way. You're going to run into some individuals that say, okay, this young guy, what does he know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the most part, you live, you love, you learn from those guys too as well. So you just kind of crawl through the ranks and, mm-hmm. You just bide your time and learn as much as you possibly can.
Okay. What was your, or is your business background? Were you in real estate? Were you in computers? What were you in?
A lot of what I'd done was in the tooling industry.
Oh, really?
When I started, especially design toolings. It got me into more of the marketing, sales, service ends. I worked a lot of customer service areas, a lot of specialty call center jobs and things of this nature. After a while, you start to grow out of that.
Okay.
And you want to get more into that entrepreneur side.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we climb into there, of course, now, you know, business has changed a little bit. We had some economic conditions that kind of rocked the world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you climb into, I'm a real estate broker as well. So you climb into the real estate. Then, of course, from there, you tie yourself to the teaching, training, speaking. I'm one of those guys that just don't shut up, you know. And
I've heard that.
Well, something like that. You know, that's that NSA background, of course.
Yeah.
But as you climb into those areas and you start to understand and learn, you know, the real estate industry has been up and down. And there's some great times and great opportunities there as well.
What I see in what you've shared and why I asked the question is you were just a salesperson, so to speak, but you had a dream. And you had the willingness to risk. And I think that's what a lot of people need to hear. My experience is there are a lot of people out there who I make my bread and butter on, if you will, that want to write a book, but they're afraid to.
Sure.
Because they're just, fill in the blank, it doesn't matter. You saw what you were doing, and you knew you could do more things, and so you've made a reality.
Sure, without a doubt. I believe each and every one of us has a book inside them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we've heard this many, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
The intentions are great, of the utmost.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, sometimes in that execution, it's just a little shy. And when you start to look inside there, and really gear in the intention side.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, look, an intention with that action is going to result in some sort of execution. But when you have the intention with that action, it just becomes another thought.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that thought out there, it becomes very hard to bring it to an execution. You know, there's a confidence level. There's a focus level. And when you start to take a look, there's a deep desire.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get those areas matched, that confidence, the focus, and the desire, it helps. It aids in the intention, and it drives the action, and which actually drives you to the execution. So some way, some shape, some form or another, you know, before
it's
we go on in life, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And what is your book about, and how is it coming along?
Book is doing real good right now. The name of the title, working title, is Accountable on account of your ability. Sorry about that. And it's about individuals reaching inside for themselves, looking at the level of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that accountability lie? Where is the individuals, the opportunities, and the environments which we create?
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at areas of relationships and how relationships are very, very important in the levels of accountability. We take a look at trust, friendship, and communications.
Goodness.
In some of those areas. It's depth, it's detail, but it's you know, what's funny? It's everything that I've come to learn, develop, and grow within my own life.
Mm-hmm.
So it reflects that I'm pretty much looking at myself in the mirror and saying, okay, what is it?
That can be scary.
Especially 6'4".
Really.
You know, it's scary.
Looking back at yourself, right?
Yeah.
It's scary at 5 foot nothing, too. I'm here to tell you.
Well,
when you start
that.
Taking measure of, you know, what you've accomplished, what mm-hmm. you say you're about, what you're trying to live into. I'm very interested to know about the impact of Og Mandino's work on your life and your work. I see in your LinkedIn profile that you're Og Mandino certified. I just think the world of his work, and I particularly enjoyed The Greatest Salesman in the World. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, without a doubt. Og's work really took a place to the thought, how we think, how we develop thought, how we process the thought, and how we really think on who we are, how we develop the consciousness, and how we develop the persona, the power, the ability, and to take that action. Og's work and what Og has developed out there has changed a good many people's lives. And to really expound on that and to expound on his teachings were huge. That The Greatest Salesman in the World was one of the greatest books out there. Short read, but dynamic. You know, and a lot of those short reads, a lot of those shorter books out there have really created a great impact for a good many people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the opportunity to change your mind, change your thought, Well, you can conquer just about anything.
And you do that, or you try to do that.
At least I try to do that.
Now, when you go into a corporate setting, you're a keynote speaker. Yes. Are you a motivator? A combination.
Combination of all. Yeah, we'll see keynotes, we'll see breakouts, and we'll see some additional training mm-hmm. sessions.
What's the buzz you get from doing that?
Yeah, everybody asks me that question, Tim. You know, it's a very it's a question I really had to look back in mm-hmm. myself. You know, I believe that each and every one of us also is kind of caught between the vortex between humiliation and pride.
Yeah, well, that's
great.
I like that.
And since we're in that vortex out there, how do we adapt? How do we grow? How do we learn? How do we develop ourselves and individuals? Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do, and what really moves me, is the ability to move and change people's lives. I said one time before, I had a really good close friend of mine in the NSA world that had come up to me and creeped up on the back left side of me one day, and he reached over and he kind of just buzzed in my ear and he says, you know, what's unique about our industry is we have the ability to change people's lives.
Yeah.
And he just crept up and he walked away. And that has always stuck with me.
And he's still there, right?
Yeah,
he's still there.
I carry him in a knapsack. You know, I'm 6'4". Uh-huh. He was only 2'3". But lo and behold, I mean, if we have that ability to change people's lives one person at a time, and that was the motto. That was what I was carrying for so mm-hmm. long. There was people in my life. I'm sure there was people in your life and people in everybody's life that either said something or had something to do with making a monumental change.
Mm-hmm.
And when that change occurred, it was like flipping a light switch. Boom!
Sure, absolutely.
It was powerful. And, you know, we all look for those particular moments. Mm-hmm. And we hinge on those moments and we look toward seeing the gratification. I mean, I look to see the smile. I look to see the lean in on people. I've heard many, many stories, some great content, humor, and entertainment in the speaking environment, speaking world. There are some stories that'll move you
mm-hmm.
and create a whole new persona. Say, okay, look, you know, maybe I wasn't as dramatic as this particular speaker, but, you know, he's got a story.
It's still powerful.
And it's very, very powerful.
It's still powerful.
But it moved me. It changes me. Mm-hmm. And to have that opportunity to move others along the way is just so gratifying, and it's so rewarding.
And you hope to be able to continue that in a different form through your written word, through your book.
Oh, we're definitely going to continue that through the written word.
Okay.
Yes, without a doubt.
What's that? What's it like for you to, since your media is speaking, what's it like to sit down, apply butt glue, and write?
Oh, I don't. I stand up and write, Tim.
Mm.
It is tough. You really have to narrow down and really pinch out some time. Mm-hmm. You really have to put out that particular time frame and say, okay, between this hour and hour. Some people work very well in the morning. Some people work very well at evening. I'm an early morning. Give me 5:00 in the morning. Get mm-hmm. me up. Put me in front of a computer, and it just starts flowing. I don't drink coffee. I'm this way naturally.
Well, that's scary.
That's very scary, you know. But it gives me the opportunity in the early mornings to really get the thoughts out
mm-hmm.
and really to open up and say, okay, look, what is it that I really want to get out there and talk with these people?
You're the current president of Georgia NSA. We had Diane Bogino here last week, who is going to be your successor, not that anybody could ever succeed you.
Now, that's all wrong.
What's it like being the president of a speakers organization? What do you try to do as that?
You know, it's very funny you said that, because it's really culminating from, it goes back to Cabot Robert, who the individual who actually was the innovator and the master behind NSA and the National Speakers Association. It's giving back.
Mm.
And through the National Speakers Association, through the national size, and of course, we talked about chapter levels, it's about giving back.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look as, at least I don't, there probably be others that do, as a competition in a field of play. We look at it that there's an opportunity to change those people, to change people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and to really give them information that's going to carry them. And we're in a tough situation right now. Economy's tough, people are tough, everybody's tough. But, you know, I think what the NSA does, it breeds a certain persona of family,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us the opportunity to help as many other speakers through this professional opportunity of words and communication.
And the programs are powerful. One of the things that just amazes me is in a regular meeting session is you often give one person an opportunity to do a 3-4 minute presentation.
Right, exactly.
And you've got three colleagues over here, usually the speaker of the month, who is some national person
That's
coming
right.
in, and they get to critique. I would never want to be that person.
It's funny you say that.
I had enough people in ministry telling me after every sermon, well, that you missed on that one, didn't you?
Right. I
know. But it all is done so gently, but very, how do I say, it's not done lightly.
Yeah, not at all.
Critical stuff is, what's it take to be able to stand up there, speak to your peers, and know that you're going to get feedback?
That's probably the biggest thing. I mean, speaking in front of your peers. I've had many people come up to me and say, I said, how would you like to get on the program? When I was running programs 2 years ago, how would you like to get on the program and speak? You know, and they go, speak in front of my peers? Are you out of your mind? I other thought has entered my mind. You know, I was out of my mind. But yeah, it's when you really start to take a look at individuals. I mean, speaking, you know, Tim, as well as I do, speaking ranks right up there next to death.
Yes, it does. Yes,
and
it does.
And those individuals that have to communicate with their peers or groups or larger groups, it's a very big fear. The big ticket out there is that if you want to learn to speak, you want to speak, you speak often.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak as often as you possibly can. And take not the criticism. Take what you can do to grow your craft.
Sure.
Take what you can do to learn.
Mm-hmm.
There is just tremendous. I mean, what we say, I think we were talking to a group this morning, and we were talking about professionals inside their own arenas. And, you know, you got your Tiger Woods of the world, and you got your baseball stars and footballs. And there was a comment passed that for someone to get to that caliber, there's 10,000 hours of work.
Yes,
that has to go inside this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm probably at about 5,000 hours right now.
So you're halfway there, right?
Maybe halfway there. Okay. But okay. I'm still continuing to learn. I'm still continuing to grow.
Okay.
We all have certain stories inside of us that are just dying to be unleashed. And when you get those out, whether they are your peers or not, all right, and look for the way that you can enhance your presentation skills. Because it's not about you. It was never about you in the first place. It's never about me as a speaker. It's about what I can do in order to move the audience.
Okay.
And how I can change maybe just a little iota of a thought from somebody coming in and maybe have had a bad day or maybe had a bad 2 years or maybe has a bad lifetime. All right. And if I can change that one person, then I've done my job. And if they can walk away with just one little tidbit of information that's going to help them to grow, then, Tim, I've done my job.
There you go. There you go. Well, would you share with the people your contact information? They want to be in touch with you just to hear you, see you, maybe get a book when it's ready, whatever. How's the best way to get a hold of Rich Hart?
Well, you can reach me by email. It's rich@richhart.com, just as it is, R-I-C-H@RICHHART, drop the E, .com. Or you can reach us at 404-597-3139. Or just go to the website, richhart.com.
And there you are.
And there I am.
There you are. You know, Stone, what amazes me is when I put these shows together, I have an idea of what I want to try to accomplish. And it was to get people who are writing today for the first time to share their story. What did I get? I got two professionals who are wanting to impact lives.
Well, you did, and it was no challenge getting them to come out of their shell either. I thought that was very well done.
I have a shell.
Yeah.
Soft shell.
Yeah, you know, I always open up the mic, and then I hope that there's a question from one of you to the other or something like that. This becomes the pregnant pause of the show. Anything you want to ask each other or comment on?
That's the pregnant pause. Go ahead.
I have a marketing question for both of you. I'd like for each of you to answer this because I don't know the first thing about your arena, Sherry, but I'm sure the challenge is similar. I do know a little bit about your arena. I've played on the periphery of your arena a little bit, Rich, and been around some really good speakers. Incredibly competitive marketplace. How do you go to market? How do you differentiate yourself? That's got to be a real struggle.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's a lot of individuals that are fighting with that. When it comes down to, there were four components. I mentioned those components early. The content, the story, the humor, and the entertainment. Your content is going to be impelling enough that it's really going to move people. the story out there that you you have and that comes from the heart is actually coming from the heart. And individuals themselves, I'm hoping they don't have the same story. But, you know, there's a level of excitement. There's a level of experience that comes with it. And I think it's very unique out there. Even though we say it's a competitive industry, there is still a ton of work out there for each and every one of us in the speaking career, you know, in the speaking business, without a doubt.
You want to take on Stone's question? How do you market, Sherry?
Our marketing comes primarily from referrals and from people looking for what we offer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't compete. In the healing world, it's a death sentence to compete. So we actually look for other healers and other people in different levels of the integrity that our center holds in order to co-op with outside of our individual center. So we refer each other out to different centers, in and out. And we get lots of people that find us through the website. You would be surprised how many people are really tired of being sick, tired of not feeling good, and have even been trying more traditional chiropractic, traditional acupuncture and things, and that even isn't working. So they're looking for that deep level of healing, and that's really what we offer at our center.
Sure, I think the health and wellness has taken on a new identification out there nowadays.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think people are looking to alternative medicines.
They are.
They're looking to really feel better. There are elements out there that they say, okay, I went to traditional doctors, and I just can't get over them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Best example, we had a client that came in with fibromyalgia. In 4 months, she had had fibromyalgia pain, terrible pain, for 20 to 25 years. And in 4 months, doing the Reiki healings, taking yoga classes, and taking about 3 different supplements that the naturopath that we refer out to, 4 months, her pain was 98% gone.
Wow.
That's impressive.
It's gone. That's great. And it hasn't. So you can heal it. And I think that for us, the marketing that we do is telling those stories and saying, hey, you know, it's really, when I say my book was about inspiration, that's how we market, is through inspiration.
And that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's what struck me as I sat here listening to the two of you playing it back and forth. You want to touch lives. You want to show people they can go beyond their fears and get some wholeness going.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got these notes sitting right here, and I'm looking, and I'm like, ooh.
Don't steal my notes.
Oh, no. No stealing. No stealing. Never.
Never. But he does have a lot.
But he does. He's got these beautiful ideas written on paper, so I'm buying your book.
So will I. I want to hear about this.
We can market it together.
Thanks. That sounds good.
So what do you got written down there, Rich?
It's just as I go through during the day. I mean, we all have a little cheat sheet, and mm-hmm. we all have little pads that we carry around with mm-hmm. us and things of this nature. And if I get a thought, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to write it down.
And we
talked about that earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just having something handy to write down. Now, of course, now we have iPads.
Mm-hmm.
So the pens have now disappeared. But, you know, if there are particular thoughts, you know, yesterday we were running a whole big, a new class design and a course design on independence, dependence, mm-hmm. and interdependence based on in the financial communities. And it was just huge what we were getting out of it. And, of course, then there was whiteboard, and we were just really opening up some brand new ideas and brainstorming. But that's where all this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll write an idea down, and then maybe go back to it, you know, days, months later, and you'll open it up, expound on it.
Yeah. What do you do, Sherry, to keep your thoughts going throughout the day? Do you have those moments of insight? Oh, better jot it down?
I do. I get them a lot in the morning. Like we were talking out there that seems like one of our unique times is about 3 o'clock in the morning, wake up and just...
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm a 3 o'clock in the morning poetry writer.
Now, I didn't call Sherry this morning. Yeah. She did it on her own.
But no, yes, I keep journals around with me. I have like a little notepad in my car.
Uh-huh.
And just to scribble down any of the thoughts I have.
Well, that's great. That's, everybody does it or should be doing it,
yes.
Shouldn't they?
Yes, yeah. We'll do.
Okay. Excuse me. The clock is on us, and we always welcome comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. All you need to do is send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Stone, for co-hosting, keeping me on track, and even asking questions today.
You're more than welcome. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Great. And thank you to our guests, Sherry Gilbreth and Rich Hart. Sherry, your contact information again?
www.heartcentertherapy.com, or you can reach me at 404-357-0424.
And Rich, your contact information?
That's, Tim, that would be rich@richheart.com, and contact phone number is 404-597-3139.
And Sherry's heart is with an E, and Rich's is without an E.
Aha!
There we go. There we go.
Okay. Everyone is unique.
Yeah. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I always encourage people to send an email out right now and invite your friends to listen live or listen to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at righterightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.